Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 115, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers. And fuck Fox News. It's Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You know I'm all about that Jack. About that Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Meghan Trainor and somebody else. We'll find their name. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
All of the Zines, all of the Zines.
Okay, I couldn't do the whole part, but that's just one section, okay? And that's from Johnny Davis at JohnnyD94710240. That's legit the handle.
Damn.
So shout out to you, CIA operative,
so
who is trying to infiltrate
handle.
Zeit Gang.
That's who got that handle. I was trying to get that myself.
Yeah, because you have JohnnyD94710241.
Yeah.
Like
it's my burner.
Tool.
Like an idiot. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious performer, Ali Gondor.
Hey, guys.
What's
Thanks
up,
for
man?
Me. Welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Happy
First
New
time.
Year. Happy New
Long
Year.
Long time. I'm saying that for you. Happy New Year to you.
First time guest. Long time Bruin. So,
yes.
You know, got another UCLA person. To
you guys go way back, right?
We go way back without knowing we
college
went way
buds.
Back.
Yeah, just floating around the same giant school, paying a lot of money for
it.
Exactly.
Floating around that bear statue on the quad.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know,
I used to jog around there sometimes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Were you ever join up the Squirrels of UCLA Facebook fan page?
No. Is that...
I remember there's some dumb fucking page like Squirrels of UCLA.
It was it was prime time for like bad Facebook groups that were just unite. Like I remember there was a group that was just like Serial and it had like 2 million members or something.
right.
It's just like
so it was, you get it.
Yeah.
Because at the time, like likes were also a thing. You'd look at someone's profile like, well, what'd they like?
Right.
Yeah. Like? What groups do they, what brands do they like?
Yeah, this is this is like 2 years maybe after the clever thing on MySpace being to make a MySpace page for something that didn't exist. You know, like, or, or be like, this is the MySpace page for Big Bird. And everybody be like, Big Bird has a MySpace page?
What? Hey, you're in his top eight?
Yeah.
Why do college campuses have the most aggressive squirrels? Was that the case with you? They're fed, but I mean, like, cities, squirrels are fed too.
Well, I think, like, in that area, there's just been generations of squirrels who know these people will give you fucking food.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, where I went to college, I guess maybe just there's so much garbage that they get to.
What are you trying to say about Westwood?
I'm saying my college had the most aggressive squirrels. They would just like walk towards
Georgetown?
You. Yeah.
Those gray squirrels?
Yeah,
gray that y'all squirrels. Got in D.C.?
Yeah, yeah, very strange. And they were strangely colored too.
If it's a Universal College thing, maybe they're picking up on like pheromones, you know,
right?
Like college kids in heat.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe it's like just half empty beers and they're getting drunk and just like getting beer muscles.
But Westwood didn't have shit like beers strewn about on campus because people weren't, it wasn't the life, you weren't living that life at UCLA really.
Right.
Huh. It was constricted to a couple streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that might have just been my college experience.
You were just drinking on campus, just tossing half out. That beers. Fuck it.
Waking up on the quad with a half empty beer in my hand,
using a squirrel as a pillow.
All right, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're gonna tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about, such as big news.
Mm-hmm.
The Avatar sequel is finally coming.
Oh my god,
in 2 years.
Oh my god.
And the so what we got were, well, we'll get into it.
We'll get into the,
we got what looks like a bunch of screensavers.
We got to roll our sleeves up and dig deep through all this material. These four shots.
We're going to talk about Iran. We're going to talk about how the Pentagon is dealing with Iran and Iraq and being kicked out of Iraq and you know, not knowing really.
Showing a lot of organization.
That. Yeah.
Out of the, a lot of organization coming out of the Pentagon.
We're going to do a Benghazi.
Benghazi.
With Weinstein. I almost called him Jeffrey Weinstein, but that's a different guy. Harvey Weinstein's trial and new charges coming from the Los Angeles DA. We're also going to talk about Courtney Friel, former Fox News anchor, who the president reached out to and had a, you know, very enticing invitation for her. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a campaign funding update for the Democrats in 2020. We're going to talk about Tesla, which is now the most valuable car company in U.S. history somehow.
That's right, bro.
That's right.
That's right, haters.
That's right, haters. Back
are you, off. Are you a Tesla fan, Miles?
No. I'm a fan of blunts, though, so, you know.
I'm a fan of.
I have to support Elon.
I'm a fan of his dancing. He's my.
He looked very comfortable doing both of those things.
yeah, exactly. Totally cool.
Smoking a blunt like a cop from Middle Earth.
Mm. He dances and smokes a blunt like somebody who was raised with loose emeralds in his pocket, which he was. We're going to talk about Lori Loughlin's defense. We're going to talk about what movies are coming out in 2020. All of that and plenty more. But first, Ali, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I went back and looked. This was a search for Luke Skywalker, aunt and uncle, burned action figures.
Wow.
So from the very first movie, there's that one brutal scene where he comes back home to find just the most insanely violent, like, charred remains. They're just these, like, smoking skeletons. It might be, like, the most brutal death of anyone in the series, right?
Wait, I don't remember him seeing charred corpses.
Yo, he comes back, fucking Uncle Owen on Beru, fucking scorched.
Scorched.
Damn.
And it's,
like, you see, like, jawbone and shit?
It's, like I went back and watched it. It's enough. There's first, he gets the idea of, like, oh, wait, that means my home might be on fire, too. He comes back home, you see a wider shot of the charred bodies, and you're like, oh, that's brutal. And then they do one zoomed in one that has them, like, Pirates of the Caribbean style, like stretched across their front. Here, we got the picture.
Just full on charred skeletons.
What the fuck?
Skeletal remains.
Yo, that is like straight up Terminator 2, but worse.
I honestly think it's the worst death anyone's had in any of the thing, like including villains probably.
Right, for like a PG movie. Although I guess Raiders of the Lost Ark was also PG and we saw somebody's face melt off his skull.
Yeah.
So I remember like back in the day finding, somebody put this in like a forum or something, this image of the action figure set of Luke's aunt and uncle, and it was just these charred skeletons, but in the traditional action figure packaging with, like, you know, the cardboard back and a little plastic see-through thing. And there was, I think this was like early enough on the internet that there was no way to tell if it was real or not. So I just recently was like, was that a real thing? Went and looked, never an official product, but somebody on Etsy has started producing them custom made, so you can get one if you want.
So their existence and death always raised an interesting question for me, because they were hidden, like they hid Luke Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker's son that he didn't know existed, with his relatives. So they weren't even really trying to hide him from Darth Vader. Like Darth Vader should have known, because it was with Darth Vader's relatives. So, and like Obi-Wan was hanging out right there. So why? My theory on this, my theory on this is that Darth Vader was in on it the whole time and he was protecting his children.
Yeah, that's one theory.
Yeah.
My theory is Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's dad.
No, dude.
That's just a
I'm
fan
serious.
Theory. That's just a fan just theory,
wait,
dude.
Wait, so was you're saying Owen is related to Darth Vader?
I think he is, yeah.
I think he was sent there so that Aunt Beru
stepbrother,
could...
Stepbrother of Anakin.
Yeah, so I mean, there you go. Like, you think he's gonna never find them if he's hanging out with his stepbrother? He has his adopted kid?
Yeah, I didn't realize Beru's just, like... last name was Whiteson. Beru Whiteson. Yeah. Owen Lars.
How did you not realize that?
Because in the movie, they were scorched skeletons just called Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yeah, that's true.
Love the expanded universe, though. Gotta love
she
it.
Did feed him a lot of blue milk. I think that was crucial to him growing up a strong boy.
I loved watching him just drink it right from the udder.
That's what I was hoping in the second. Yeah, in the second of the new prequels.
Yeah,
because there was... Or whatever, the sequels, there were those animals that just had the wild udders hanging out.
Yeah.
But did blue milk come out of there?
Yeah. Luke squirted blue milk directly into his own mouth.
Dude, I blocked that shit out of my mind, I think.
You should have. I thought so. Is that right?
It's like a greenish. I think it harkens back to that blue milk he used to drink for sure.
Okay.
But man, he gives a big old slurp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, he's a freak, bro. He's been living on the island. He has his own rules.
He's real. Like, they went in on like him just being like kind of fucked up.
Yeah,
like, not like
it's just that like bachelor life left to yourself for too long.
Yeah,
like
sucking
like
on an alien titty.
Just not in a good place.
You want something to drink, man? Go over there.
It's like, yo, what the fuck, man?
This is the original hedonism,
which is like probably more accurate, but it's also like kind of weird. It was a weird call to make him so strange. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I'm going quite literally with this one. 5-star Uber drivers and 5-star Lyft drivers.
Yeah.
And this comes with. There are so many drivers out there who are great 5-stars. I get it. It's a great hustle. I respect the hustle. But I've just had way too many experiences getting into a car with somebody who turns out to be an insane, like, nut job racist or, like, misogynist who's trying to get me to talk, like, just slimy shit about the girls on the sidewalk and stuff.
Yep.
And their rating is, like, 4.98.
Yeah.
So I just, like, I think there's maybe an epidemic of people being too scared to give an Uber driver a realistic.
Yeah,
because
on one hand, like, you don't want to knock someone's ability to, like, you don't want to fuck up their rating.
Right.
But I think some drivers are kind of shapeshifters depending on their passengers, because you'll read the thing, it's like, they were so helpful. And it's like, I'm sure the slick ones know, don't start talking some shit about a woman's ass on the street to when you have women in the car.
Right.
You got a dude in there, and then you can be like, let me loosen the tie a little bit.
Right.
So they're not seeing it. I had one just crazy experience where I got out, and it was like it was this woman. I could tell she was like maybe having a night. Like, I got in, she took like a a couple minutes too long kind of finishing her text before we started going. And I was like, oh, that's chill. Do your thing. And then she turned up the radio super loud. It was like Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love, which was really funny. And I was like, okay, Sandra, like you rock, you know, like I don't know what impression you're trying to give. And she starts speeding down these like speed bumps down my street, like hitting them hard, like you're ruining your car right now. I don't know what you're doing. I
mean, that's on you.
And then after you know, just maybe like 5 minutes of that, we get out. She turns down the radio and she looks back at me in the rearview mirror and she goes, "Can I ask you something? Why are all guys such assholes? Why are you all assholes?" And I was just like,
"Damn, Sandra.
We can be pretty bad."
Well, hold on. Before I answer, am I a 5-star asshole? That might affect if I give you 5 stars.
There's a way to have that conversation. I've had that conversation. Like, yeah, guys are dicks. Let's talk about it. But the more we got into it, the more it was just like, oh no, you are the wrong one here. And she was also driving like, do you remember in Vanilla Sky when Cameron Diaz is doing that like like that crazy death ride? Like, that's truly like my conversation wasn't coming from a place of empathy. It was coming from calm this person down so they don't crash. Yeah. And her rating was again like 4.9 or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm that
I always reflexively go 5. Yeah.
Yeah, I always do too.
And that's there is a part of that that I think is like the good guy move. Like, yes, let's support this. Let's like make sure they whatever. I think it's so easy to give a 5-star ride. Let's give them all 5 stars. But if you give somebody a 5-star ride and they're a little bit crazy, you're passing that hot potato on to somebody who's going to get it and it's going to fucking explode on.
Yeah.
Them.
Or you just have to say, "Hey, my man, I got to warn you, man. We're drifting into a 4-star ride here."
Right.
And I don't want to I'm not trying to take fucking money out your pocket.
Right.
But this is becoming I'm going to be honest, this might be a 2-star ride.
To go 4 stars, I would have to believe that they should not be doing this job for the safety of themselves or others.
So
that's
even
your 4-star.
Yeah. An 80%, a B minus on a test means you should not be driving this car.
So probably. That is what happens. Somebody takes 100 rides. They're all like nothing. They're all eventless. They're all 5-star. Then you take a ride and it's like pretty bad and they get a 4-star and it affects their rating like nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
More nuanced rating. I can't just say based on everything I've experienced on this ride that I can just distill it down to one metric.
Yeah.
I can do 5 stars for conversation. Mm-hmm. I can do 5 stars for driving.
Mm-hmm.
I can do 3 stars for the farting.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. That's fair. So, what's the wildest Uber experience you've ever had?
I've had a ton, bro. I had a dude who was from Uzbekistan. And he was complaining that you couldn't punch women in the United States.
Oh, word.
Yeah, he was he was describing like punching someone. Like his friend, he said like, "Yeah, my friend is in jail because he," and was gesturing punching.
Right.
Like he punched. He's like,
"Threw
yeah,
a closed hand
woman,
through someone's
and
face."
And now he's jail. And I'm like, "Right." And he's like, he's like, nah, not like that at home. And I was like, "Okay, thank you." The other one. Usually I get like mostly ignorant people with terrible takes on social issues.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I remember like when Pride was happening, this French guy, he was driving me and Her Majesty through like West Hollywood and like all the streets were, you know, there's a bunch of closures because the parade was happening. He goes, "I don't understand this.
Mm.
They have to have a parade? There's no straight people parade."
Yeah,
and
there
I go,
it is.
And I said, "I'm pretty sure every parade that exists is
a
for
straight
that.
Person
just
parade.
Like when people, I remember in high school constantly having to educate white classmates on why there's a BET. And I'm like, "It's called every other network."
Right. Yes.
It already is. Mm. So that's what it's, that's, do you understand that?
Yeah.
Imbalance? Okay, never mind.
LA, you get a lot of actors, like coked up actors. I've had a couple of those that are wild.
Or like wild I get times. Ones too, old players, like old black dudes in their 50s who are telling me, they're like, "Hey, bro," they're just telling me about all their like women problems.
Yeah.
And it's a hilarious because I'm like, you have not matured at all emotionally.
Right.
You're in your 50s. You have grandchildren.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, you're referring to like when your girlfriend is like, "This hoe is not, you know, she wants to get all in my shit because I'm coming home late. I'm just playing basketball."
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but do you never mind. Thank you so much. This conversation has been entertaining.
What's something you think is underrated?
I'm going to go with the musician performer, philosopher Andrew W.K. on okay. this one.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, this is controversial. I feel like a lot of people maybe don't have the best opinion of him. Regardless of whether you're into his music, which I think first two albums are awesome. If you want to get into the album I Get Wet or mm-hmm. the album The Wolf, both of those great. He has since moved on to become this very like thoughtful voice of empathetic philosophy. He had a column in the Village Voice for a long time. I think it was like a weekly thing where it was like Ask Andrew W.K. and people would write in with these questions that were like pretty heavy, and he just gives like the most his whole philosophy basically is like life is this overwhelming thing that we're all experiencing, and every single moment that you feel unease, like that is the feeling of being alive. And right. that is something that like you need to embrace and fold into your experience.
Growth. Right.
Yeah. And the way that he expresses all of that is partying.
Through partying.
Like, yeah. Partying is the way to channel that single vibration that we all are on and all struggling with.
He's a really I worked with him a few years ago. Yeah. When I worked at Playboy, we basically did a failed April Fool's Day campaign where I pitched Andrew W.K. this idea that this was during the presidential election. I said, it's like so left and right now. It's like, let's do a thing where you're announcing this new thing called the party party. So it's not the Republican party or the Democrat party. It's the party party. Mm. And we did this whole like video, and he went on Fox and all these things. The problem was he was not telling people it was done with Playboy. So he sort of took it as like this thing where people were like, and you're starting this new movie. He's like, yeah. He's like, thanks to Playboy. It's like, but this was fake and I just helped. Okay, whatever. And like working with him was also very interesting because he was so involved in it. And he also he showed up to the first meeting with a CVS shopping bag as his briefcase. I'm not even joking. Yeah. He had his wallet in there. He had some keys. He had a phone in there. And like a notepad, and it was a shopping bag and these like wild ass wraparound like blue blocker sunglasses. And I remember him coming in this building, putting down his shopping bag and takes his glasses off, folds them very nicely and like very daintily like puts them in his shopping bag as if that were the sunglasses case. And went about it. And I was more focused on his shopping bag briefcase.
Yeah, he's like he's weirdly like minimalist and maximalist at the same time. You know, he's so like there's that, but then his concerts and his whole vibe is just like to the max. That first album, I Get Wet, is just like everything is just a pounding like party anthem. There's like party is in like I want to say four of the song titles on the album.
Right.
I had a weird like relationship with him too, because I used to ride home from high school with this guy and he'd play him a lot, and I was like a little bit more of like a punk music snob or like Aphex Twin kind of stuff.
Sure.
And he would play Andrew W.K. and I was just like, this guy's just like a jock, like what is
this?
What's the deal with this? And then I watched him live on SNL, and just the amount of energy that he gave to that performance on SNL, I was just like sitting on the floor, the glow of the TV on my face, and I was just like enthralled. I was like, I'm in. I'm fully in.
You're
now.
Like, I want to take a photo with blood all over my face now.
Truly. I used to have a poster that cover in my room, and one time my niece was over at my house, and she like wandered in my room and she saw it, and my mom like wasn't able to stop her from seeing the poster. She's like, what happened? And my mom's explanation was like, oh no, he hit his nose and he's on the way to the doctor.
That's right. That's how you party, man.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something that people think is true you know to be false?
The myth is that you can recycle paper towels. You can't recycle paper towels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a bummer. But I'm a little OCD about it, like at my place, because I'll see paper towels in the recycle, and then I'm like picking and putting them in the right spot. There's something about the fibers of paper towels, like they've been recycled so many times that the fibers are now too short to be used for anything else. Also, anything that's greasy.
Has grease on it. Yeah, pizza box, it's a wrap.
Yeah, pizza box.
Oh, really?
I've seen ads with the pizza box thing where if you can get the top of the pizza box off and it's not greasy, you can recycle that.
Right.
But the bottom of
the
greased
part, yeah.
And that's wild too. The grease thing is something like, once they mix all the paper stuff up into whatever that like recycle slurry is that they then make new stuff out of, the grease just kind of creates these like weird oil bubbles in it and stuff, so they can't use it at all.
Oh, no.
But yeah, paper towels is a big bummer, but then I've also read, like, look, it's something that's been used as many times as it could have been. If you can, compost it. But right. otherwise, yeah. don't put it in the recycle because it'll fuck up.
I'm making a big paper towel ball.
Perfect.
How important?
Like, it's like Indiana Jones style. Like, yeah. I just can't. I'm yeah. like, you know what? This has to go to something.
And then just leave it in a room. So and anytime you need to wipe your hands, you just
yeah, just wipe the big ball.
Wipe the ball. Yeah.
How important is it that you like rinse out a glass jar that you're recycling? Is that?
That's a good question. I'm definitely I'm not the authority on it by any means, but like I've heard, as long as you can kind of get most of the foody chunks off of it,
right?
Because they have to do their own cleaning process at the plant too,
right?
Yeah.
But just like I guess I would compare it to like if you wash stuff off of a dish before you put it in a dishwasher, yeah. okay. maybe like about okay. that amount, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Word.
My immigrant mother, in my mind, I'm scrubbing the whole thing up out that fucking thing, man. yeah. I used to have to, my God.
What's
I remember
a dishwasher?
Cleaning. Didn't have one. Didn't yeah, have one. Yeah, it was exactly. me. It was my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, ours was storage.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's for extra, for the yeah. nice dishes going there.
Ours had like other like food and stuff
in it. In your
it's just like another pantry.
Yeah, yeah. right, yeah, right. Yeah. No, I was like, I was drilled into just cleaning every fucking thing out. Because in Japan, when you do your recycling, you clean the fuck out that shit.
Really?
Like but that's just also, I think, culturally inbuilt of just right. being as thorough as possible. And it's mostly about not inconveniencing the person on the other end of this transaction,
right.
which would be like the person who has to process it. You're like, well, let's make their job easier.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
I feel it feels better to put out recycling that's been rinsed out.
Oh, yeah. When like I do it, I yeah. feel like... I'll fire up another coal plant, baby.
Yeah. Oh, the other last thing that a lot of people do too is don't put it in a trash bag. Like, don't put your loose
yeah,
recyclables
and
in
that,
like
in the recycle. In, yeah.
Yeah, because then that gets often just mistaken for trash, and so they'll just throw that whole thing. They have recycle bags. If you like still want to use bags for your recycles, they have recycle bags that are like translucent blue so that you can see through them. They're kind of like known as recycle, yeah. and then that'll help you.
I always use paper shopping bags.
Okay.
Yeah, or whatever,
yeah, and then just dump it in.
Yeah, because then that bag can be recycled too.
Yep.
So boom, yeah. bow.
That works.
If you need to get a bag at the store, you know.
Damn.
What I mean?
This
or,
was
or bring your own.
One of those very straightforward myths that I think is actually helping yeah. people.
Well, that's I also great. Started oh, yeah. using
in your face, Marcella,
because of the paper towels. I started using like dish towels more. You
yeah,
know what I mean, like going back to that time.
Yeah,
but also like in. A Japanese house, you would have just like one wet, damp cloth that's
right.
used for like wiping or everything like throughout the day. So you'd all there. I'm like trying to bring that shit back. The pre
one damp, one dry.
Yeah, one because like you would leave it on your dining table, so then you can like wipe up the table, or like if your fingers were just kind of dirty, you just kind of hit your fingers with it real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a little napkin. I don't know. Like mm-hmm. Different strokes for different folks.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And so we're continuing to see a little bit of pushback in these United States and quite a bit of pushback in Iran from the assassination of Soleimani. Rand Paul has come out and said, the libertarian senator went on Fox to say basically he doesn't like this.
Yeah, that I guess the most reasonable thing you could say from coming out of Rand Paul, his whole thing was just sort of like, yeah, if you asked if we're safer now than we were before Soleimani was killed, the answer is we were safer before all of this happened and how unnecessary this is. And his whole thing was like, well, I think diplomacy is now not an option anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate this. But I don't know. He's been such a rubber stamp for Trump.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going to be full-blown opponent of armed conflict with Iran, or he just says this so when he if it comes to some kind of vote where he has to, you know, be recorded and go on the record, he'll be like, "Well, I also did say I hated this."
Right. Yeah.
But so, I'll also confirm Brett Kavanaugh.
So we're
or whatever I'll do.
Yeah.
So, you know, very a little bit of pushback, but I guess you know you could if you had to file that under something, it would be a light push.
Yeah.
And then
So the official position is still that they did it because he was like about to pull the trigger on some
which is total horseshit.
Massive like 24 style like there's a bomb underneath the convention center. We
yeah,
gotta take
some
him out.
Shit.
But yeah, there's according to people who don't believe everything the president says, like nobody really knows why he did it other than to kind of make himself seem like war president.
And anyone who has answers has been so cryptic when they're pressed about like, well, what is it? Then can we see this intelligence? Like, well, I don't know. Like this is bad. Something could happen.
Right. Do you think he told Mitch McConnell on that golf trip?
Yeah.
Probably was about it.
It felt like such a brag when he was like, I knew about it on our golf outing.
Yeah. It's like, oh. Okay.
Wait, was that Lindsey Graham?
Or no,
Lindsey
sorry,
Graham.
Lindsey Graham. Yeah. Well, of course he's, these people are just absolute monsters. And then when you look at even another bit of pushback came from Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense, who, again, we'll talk a little bit more about how disorganized the Pentagon is, but he was sort of saying like, oh yeah, like destroying like cultural sites, Iranian cultural sites, that's not going to happen. He's
right,
like, we will follow the laws of armed conflict.
The president threatened to destroy 52 different sites, and some of them cultural sites. And
which is a number tied to like the amount of hostages.
Number of hostages, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
straight up like terrorist shit. It's like
Well, and also, yeah, you're you expect the region of the world where like the eye for an eye retaliation philosophy is born out of? Like you think you're just gonna get away with like cultural genocide too?
Yeah,
like it's the whole thing's an absolute mess. And also like the idea that America would follow the laws of armed conflict is also
right.
Okay. Yeah.
52-52 is a very like art of the deal kind of thing too.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Make it have meaning.
Yes. I don't, and so we're just kind of waiting around because Iran has said that, or the Supreme Leader has said that they're going to respond directly. It's not like a proxy will attack a U.S. interest. It will be a direct attack. So that's what everybody's waiting for.
Even Netanyahu was like, I don't know. Hey, I don't know if that was a good idea.
He's
even distancing himself from this shit. I'm like, again, this was so impulsive, and this is because we are at that stage now where you're like, man, I wonder how bad this presidency could get.
Right.
We're fucking here now.
Yeah.
Like before, it was a lot of just posturing and bullshit. Obviously, the untold sorrow and pain caused to many other groups of people. But now we're in that phase where it's now a beyond like turning into a global liability.
Yeah. So the Iraqi parliament voted to basically issue a resolution to kick U.S. troops out of the country.
A victim.
To evict them. It was a resolution, which is non-binding, but they're urging the government to evict American troops. And the Pentagon had a letter that they issued that said, yeah, we're going to do that, and like giving people instructions on how to get the fuck out of Iraq. And then the Joint Chiefs chairman or the defense secretary told reporters, there's been no decision whatsoever to leave Iraq, period. He like ran down the hall and like said it was a mistake.
Right.
The Joint Chiefs chairman confessed the letter was a draft released, quote, by mistake. And then somebody else suggested that it was like a disinformation campaign. Like they tried to make it seem like, oh, we're being fucked with by spies. That's why we're so fucked up. We've gotten everything completely wrong.
Or there's no plan.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, again, I think a lot of people suspect like, oh, how'd that letter leak when you're dealing directly with the government of Iraq?
Well, it wasn't leaked. They issued it.
No, but I'm saying there's one train of thought where they were working on this draft together because they were in fact planning on troop withdrawal.
Right.
Unbeknownst to Trump. Therefore, the denials came out.
Right.
Because they're dealing directly with them being like, I guess we'll have to get the fuck out. But just don't tell old, you know, fucking mashed potato brain. Or else he's going to get real angry. Or that, you know, even within that, there's been such an erosion of trust between the two governments. They're like, they'll just leak any fucking thing that they get their hands on too.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're not really interested in this relationship anymore.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the truth is behind this, it just shows no one is on the same page. No one has a plan. And this is just, I don't know. It's further revealing the chaos that is existing within the Defense Department and like having to deal with whatever, you know, the president's wishes are.
Yeah. This Daily Mail article says that it would be ordinary to have a contingency plan that included an advisory letter to a host country. So like it makes sense that this would exist and that there would be a draft of it, but that a copy surfaced overnight that was translated into Arabic. And so that suggested it was finalized language, not a draft. So it seems like they're just kind of all over the fucking place.
Sometimes you translate stuff into Arabic for fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just practice. Paul Gozar. Is that how we're pronouncing that?
Gozar the Gozarian.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's straight up a Ghostbusters bad guy.
I think it's Mark Paul Gozar.
Mark. Right.
Well, I didn't realize he was Indonesian.
Mark Paul Gozar.
Yeah, he's partially Asian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yes. I was like, what? Zach Morris?
Hold on. Time out.
Yes. Asian icon. Mark Paul Gosselaar.
That's wild.
I just want to say, wait, what is it?
We didn't all freeze when he said time out.
Oh, time out.
I don't have the power.
Yeah, his mother, who is of Indonesian and Dutch descent, is from Bali.
Hell yeah.
Cool. So just a little fact. I learned that at an Asian as fuck show at UCB. Yeah, so Paul Gosar, he's a dentist, and he's one of those...
He's a dentist?
Yeah.
Okay.
His like handle's Dr. Paul Gosar on Twitter.
Fool.
But he's been known to be a verified piece of shit. When he was running for office, his siblings put out an ad being like, don't vote for this shitbag, our brother.
Yeah.
He's a racist. He doesn't deserve any kind of power or responsibility. Leave this man alone. He still was elected. But he is now, just to add to his resume, he also believed the violence in Charlottesville was a left-wing plot.
Of course.
And
how could it not be?
Tried to like boycott the Pope because of all the climate change talk.
Because the Pope acknowledged climate change?
Stay in your lane, bro. Yeah, like he wasn't, he's just, anyway, this is
him
man.
And Meatloaf.
He has nobody in his corner. And again, he now acts like a guy who has no one in his corner and just gets their jollies from like trolling and the little likes he can get off posts. So on Christmas, again, he posted a video of Hillary Clinton in a TV interview where a light stand like fell down, like hit her in the head. And he's like, remember the reason for the season or tis the season. Some dumb shit. Like, okay, fine. Because, you just like to see women get hit with things.
Get harmed.
And then on this week, he then posted a photo of what looks like President Barack Obama shaking hands with President Rouhani of Iran and captioned it, the world is a better place without these guys in power. Now, this doesn't make sense because, A, the shit is fucking photoshopped.
Right.
From the time, at the time, I think Obama was meeting with the president of India. And B, Rouhani is still in power. So everyone was like, what are you trying to say? Like, what does this mean? Like, do you think this is Soleimani or something? What are you getting at? And in true, like, loser, insecure, troll fashion, he goes on the attack.
Mm.
So he has to explain why he did this dumb fucking photo. One, thread, okay? Prepare yourself for threadage. One. To the dim-witted reporters like at D Medine 11. No one said this wasn't photoshopped. No one said the president of Iran was dead. Mm. No one said Obama met with Rouhani in person. The tweet said the world is a better place without either of them in power. Two.
Yeah, dimwit.
Two. Point the two. The point remains to all but the dimmest.
Yes.
Obama coddled, appeased, nurtured, and protected the world's number one sponsor of terror.
Boom.
The world is better without Obama as president. The world will be better off without Rouhani.
Yeah.
So,
face, how did you not take that from his initial tweet of a Photoshop photo saying that it's better that both of these guys aren't in power anymore, even though one of them is,
you
and they never
idiot.
Met.
No one said
how
this
the fuck
wasn't
did you not
Photoshopped.
So, yeah. Dr. Paul Gosar, you're a fucking dentist. Go fuck yourself.
That the world is a better place. We were supposed to read that half is currently without Obama, and and half will be is a better place when Rouhani's out.
Nobody said this wasn't photoshopped. Is my favorite.
Someone tweeted
thing.
Something like, "That's the Gettysburg Address of our modern times." No one said this wasn't photoshopped.
Yo, I love it.
What a fucking tool.
Let's check in with Benghazi.
Benghazi.
So Harvey Weinstein, trial, was supposed to be sort of a boring day. 2 days ago, Monday, things were kicking off with jury selection. But a couple things happened. So first of all, on Monday, the LA DA announced that they were bringing charges, because of women he raped in Los Angeles. In his hotel room not that long ago in the past 10 years. And so they're asking for extra bail and to remand him in prison while he awaits trial because, as the New York DA pointed out, he may realize just how completely fucked he is and
just like
just
how
run.
Bad the evidence
he's
is.
A flight, he's even more of a flight risk than he was before because now, even if he thinks he can get off here, he then has another trial ahead of him in Los Angeles. Also on Tuesday, he was texting during the trial, like in the courtroom.
He was on his phone during
on
his own
phone,
trial.
Texting.
Such a millennial, right?
I know. And the judge is famous for being like, no phones in my courtroom. And he just like was all on that shit, like not even trying to hide it. The judge flipped out on him, flipped out on his lawyers. His lawyers were like, guys, come on, this isn't fair that like there's so much information out there about what a rapist our client is. How's he going to get a fair trial? And the judge was like, get the fuck out of here. So that's where we're at with that. I think they're adding another. So he's out on $5 million bail for the New York charges, and they added another $5 million, which I'm sure he'll have no problem coming up with. Although, I don't. How the fuck does somebody like this get $5 million? Like,
just keep in the bank.
Yeah,
I got a GoFundMe going if you guys want to help him out at all.
Help this dude out.
Pitch in.
I mean, he's Harv. This is where they need
Big
to.
Harv.
Like, you want like reform around bail to be like, okay, how much money you got?
Right.
You willing to come up off 80% of that?
Yeah.
To stay out
seriously.
Of jail? Seriously. That's how that shit affects most other people who get caught up in the legal system. Like,
at least.
It's like.
Yeah, it should be relative, right?
Yeah. Or just figure out or get rid of the system. I don't know. Reform it. But like, clearly, when you got money where you can be like, I think when you're at that level, because most people, we've noticed there's basically two legal systems in this country. At that level, I mean, as if they'd make the rules fair, it should. I really feel like you want those people to really consider. It's like, huh? Do I think I'm that innocent, or is it worth it to me to put all this money out?
Yeah,
because then they can just go out and fucking, you know, wear your ankle monitor and go yuck it up at someone's open mic.
Right.
Something proportional, because even if you do get them to do 80%, they'll just find a way to divert their funds elsewhere and be like, this is my 80%. And now same thing they do with taxes and shit.
Yeah, or people when they're trying to do child support or spousal support.
Exactly.
Like Rudy Giuliani literally quit his job at the beginning of, I think, of 2019. So he could tell, like, a judge, be like, I can't support my ex-wife.
Yeah.
I haven't worked. It's like, bro, you quit your job so it would look like you have no income.
Right.
But most judges now are used to that trick, and they're like, pay up.
Look at all this money I spent on buying Bitcoin. I don't have any dollars left.
Right. God, I mean, I went to Ukraine a bunch. Those tickets aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. In another Benghazi update, there's a new accuser of the president. Her name is Courtney Friel. She was a fill-in Fox and Friends host, and she had said that she would be interested in like being in some way associated with the Miss Universe pageant, like a judge or something, because I guess her background is also in the pageant culture.
Well, yeah, you can't be a woman anchor on Fox unless you've been through the pageant system.
Yeah. So that's the feeder system.
Yeah.
So Trump reached out to her, just being, he's like, oh, well, look at that. I mean, I'm a fan and she wants to be involved with my thing. So he reached out to her and just wanted to let her know that she was the hottest of them all on Fox News.
Oh, Jesus.
And also invited her up. He said, and this is how we know it's true, because this is like so awkward and specific. He said, you should come up to my office sometime so we can kiss. Which is so...
Jesus.
Yeah.
What? Again.
You should come up to my office sometime so we can kiss.
So we can kiss.
Like, there, she wouldn't be able to... That's not... If you were making that up, you would not say that.
Yeah.
Because it's so weird sounding that it would... Like, you would come up with something more believable.
Like
sounding.
How Jeff Bezos' I love you alive girl texts.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, yeah, okay.
That's some weird billionaire talk. Yeah, we have a president. You can, if you want to put all the crimes out.
Yeah.
You know, the number of allegations, incredible allegations of like assault against him. And it's like,
yeah.
It's
cool.
I don't know.
It actually makes people more likely to vote for him, or it makes his supporters more likely to vote for him, because they feel like he stands for old timey caveman politics, sexual politics.
He's got Joe Namath's vote.
Yeah. So Courtney Friel responded, Donald, I believe we're both married. And I quickly ended the call. This proposition made it difficult for me to report with a straight face on Trump running for president. It infuriated me that he would call all the women who shared stories of his bold advances liars. I totally believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, well, you know, this is the fucking dimension we're in right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does seem like literally there's nothing that could happen that would make his supporters abandon him.
I mean, what we know, he's got a weird dick.
Right.
He's a sex crim.
Yeah.
He's racist.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
Every time he says something racist or does something or like it's revealed he's like sexually assaulted somebody, his support like strengthens among his base.
Well, I mean, yeah, because I guess that really there's this, these people who still are, you know, long for this bygone era of misogyny where like that's cool or like, or they're like, I don't know, you know, I come from the school of thought where like boys will be boys or, you know,
it's all that locker room talk bullshit.
Yeah, where in the 2020 version is, you know, sex predators are sex predators.
Yeah.
You know, but however they want to dismiss it and rationalize, I guess that's their prerogative to try and rationalize their support.
Is that base of idiots, is it small and loud, or is it as large as he wants us to believe it is? That's like kind of my question going into the next election.
Oh no, it's big.
It's
big enough to vote him into the presidency.
Yeah,
for sure. I guess I always kind of wonder. It's enough people to get out the vote, right? But I always wonder: is this kind of the equivalent of like an Instagram account that has like 8 million followers, but then
only gets 3,000 likes?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's one of those things where I think a lot of people are not willing to out loud express what their values are.
But then,
and a lot of them are in line with Trump. So it only seems like you see the very vocal people,
right,
but the numbers don't lie.
And when they get in the voting booth,
unless the
fine,
votes
yeah.
are rigged.
Yeah.
No, I think they're. And
but yeah,
it's
they're
not
out
just
there.
The votes. It's he's breaking all sorts of records for funding and for raising money for his campaign, for his reelection campaign. Yeah, there's this dude, Joel Stein, who wrote a book in defense of elitism where he went to the county that had the highest portion. I think it was 96% of the people in that county voted for Trump. It was in Texas. And he like spent some time with the people who lived there. It wasn't a huge county, but he was pointing out that when dinner was served, like the men ate first and then the women ate.
Oh, it was that far back.
Yeah. Mm. And he was saying like that.
They're time traveling.
Yeah. If that's like one of the things that's built into your way of life, and then you hear that like there's this politically correct wave that's coming. And so like somebody like Trump seems like they're, a wall that's going to protect your way of life.
Right.
Makes sense to me. I mean,
well, and especially for if your values are not, you know, up to speed with where most of society is, like that's like an L people don't want to take, like just for your own ego.
Yeah.
Like to acknowledge where you're like, man, like, am I fucked up? Fuck that. Trump, baby.
Yeah.
Don't make me think about this.
That's the farthest energy away from, oh, maybe I should have an open mind and see the other side. Like that will never happen.
Yeah.
There's a Max Planck quote that like is really bleak, but I love a lot. But it's basically translated was like, science advances one funeral at a time.
Wow.
And it's just kind of like expressing that idea that like there isn't a ton of like minds that change on things.
Yeah.
It's more like the bigger effect is like this older generation that is wrong and curmudgeonly and sticking to their beliefs dies off, and hopefully their kids are the ones that have more of a chance of kind of being a little bit more enlightened along the way.
And when we're older, you know, our generation will probably be the one that's fighting to hang on to shit.
Yeah.
Max Planck, by the way, just one of the all-time sex symbols of, I don't know if you've seen his picture, but I just Googled him.
Hell yeah. That's stash, man.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Talk about the Planck length. I don't know any physics guys out there. But...
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and so is Avatar.
I just love that as a sentence.
Yeah.
That's the tagline of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Man, hey, Avatar's back, baby.
You won't have to wait much longer relative to how long you've had to wait already, because the first Avatar sequel is slated for December 2021.
Yeah.
Which is two years away,
baby. Strap up.
So we were talking about this earlier, and I mean, there hasn't been a 3D movie that achieved the levels of, you know, full absorption and, you know, just being amazing to look at as Avatar. So is it a thing where it just takes like 10 years to render all that shit, and that's why nobody's done it? And it's also why it's taking so long for the sequel to come out?
No, I mean, it's probably like your return on investment, like, that's what a lot of studios probably think about. It's like, to do it good,
right,
you probably spend like $400 million
yeah,
to do that shit litty.
I think that's what, didn't the first one cost around that much?
Avatar budget. Easy to Google, and that budget was $237 million.
Yeah.
Which,
that's the production budget. So you add on the marketing budget.
Marketing, boy. $150 at least.
What?
For that marketing.
$150 million
on top of the one.
Oh, I was saying five, like total. 237 plus probably. Oh, you at least double it.
So I guess we're looking at what, 387 there?
And yet they still use papyrus font for the title.
Yeah, hey, look, you got to cut corners. But I mean, I think, but then you look at it, it's like, can we sink $400 million into a film? Because that's just going to have to do at least $401 million.
Yeah.
Well, to make it profitable.
He's pretty reliable on making things that look like bad investments end up being huge money makers.
I think the real credit to that film goes to the fact that people were so fucked up over how immersive it was. There were, like, I always talk about this, people who were like going to the film constantly to be like, I need to be in Pandora.
Yeah.
I have to go to Pandora. I wish Pandora was real. I just need to be there. I will watch the movie every day until they take it out of my theater.
Yeah.
And then there was like cases of like depression of people who couldn't return to Pandora and stuff like that too.
Yeah. Pandora-lessness based sadness.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they got new concept art.
So they released new concept art that, honestly, I'm looking at it kind of shrunk down a little bit, so maybe it looks really dope up close, but it just looks like some screensaver shit. Like, it just looks...
It looks like a really good Final Fantasy game.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
It looks like maybe Crash Bandicoot might pop out from one of these floating rocks.
I the first movie, it's not a good movie. I enjoyed it. And I think, like, it's not an enjoyment on, like, an artistic appreciation. I think, like, I took it in as this is the biggest piece of cotton candy that humanity's ever made.
Yeah,
and then absolutely. You can kind of, like, consume it that way. And it's just, you know, it's the sheer spectacle. There was a certain point when I had to make that decision in my life in general of, like, oh, I think I need to start enjoying a lot more of those, like, mass event, like, let's, like, loud ass Black Eyed Peas fireworks, like, kind of, you know, spectacle type things.
Yeah.
And this was, like, the ultimate one of those. Of just, like,
and then you take a second, you're like, wait, is this just about colonialism?
Oh, you can't. No, you have to turn. That's part of this is you have to turn off your
turn
brain.
Turn off, like, all your historical nuances and be like, hold on, this is a love letter to colonialism.
Yeah, you have to. You can't think about the images it's sending to anyone, to children. You can't think of, like, what this means about what we respect as a people.
Right, right.
You have to sit there and, like, laugh when the pterodactyl, like, flies by and it looks like it zooms your face because of the 3D glasses.
First you gotta fuck the pterodactyl with your long ponytail.
With your pony.
Right, right. Yeah.
And they have a magical dreadlock that fucks.
Yeah. Wait, Avatar wasn't a love letter to colonialism. It was like a Dances with Wolves, like, white guy.
White savior.
Okay, sure. White savior. Yeah, but I guess there was the themes of colonialism in it, too. Clearly the mad general who's like, we're going to take all their resources.
That guy was such a, like, over-the-top villain,
I know.
Too.
Yeah. I think it was Ferngully, actually, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. The direct ripoff was Ferngully.
Right.
For sure. Everyone's like, this is Ferngully. Yes. And then you start, like, examining it, like, okay, there's capitalism in here. There's racism, colonialism, ism.
There's that scene where they paint with all the colors of the wind.
Yeah. Was there an unnecessary dance sequence in that, too?
No. I think there was.
God, at some point, didn't they go to, like a Avatar, like a Na'vi party, and it was, like, lit? Yeah, I remember because I feel like they were playing mushrooms and shit like bongos. I'm like,
It was like very supposed to be Native American type. Yeah, it also felt like.
What did they have? Unobtainium. That's
unobtainium
the
was the mineral.
That's another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's
very subtle. Very subtle.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Very legal.
But yeah, I mean, the one thing, it is the closest that movies have come to a ride. Like Scorsese was talking about how movies, like those movies are the...
comic book films?
Yeah, comic book movies are all rides. I feel like that
this is a fucking ride.
That is a fucking ride. In addition to the fact that it's just more about the experience than anything, like it just didn't last in our cultural memory at all, like a movie does. Movies usually like... people will use them as like touchstones to like.
Well, there was nothing new about the film in terms of its storytelling or anything. Yeah. It was purely the visuals of it that was different. Other than that, the movie was trash.
It just dissolved like cotton candy from our collective culture.
Wow.
Look at that.
Holy shit.
All
don't
right.
Don't hurt him, Jack.
Tesla, baby. Moving on, Lori Loughlin. No. Tesla, you know, we all doubted him, guys. We all doubted that this man who, you know, came from
humble
nothing,
beginnings.
Humble beginnings, he only had handfuls of emeralds in his pockets when he was walking around as a kid. He did not, it's not like he had backpacks full of it. It was just loose emeralds.
No, just loose emeralds.
A couple
in your
loose emeralds in his pockets.
I got
no big
loose
deal.
Emeralds in my pocket.
But he, so they, people have been shorting the Tesla stock for the last year. It's been the most shorted stock on the stock market. And Elon Musk said that they were going to become profitable for the first time in the third quarter 2019, and they did do that. So people were surprised. So their stock went up a little bit.
Bitch, you did it.
You son of a bitch.
You did it.
And then they had another good quarter in Q4 of 2019, and now their stock is up 93% in the last 3 months. So this motherfucker is getting it done.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. It's now the most valuable car company in U.S. history. It passed GM's market value, which I mean, like, you know, because of inflation, that's probably always going up and up, whatever the current most valuable car company in the United States is probably the most valuable ever. But it's still pretty impressive because it's, you know, tangling with these massive ancient companies, and it is a upstart.
I think he's wasting his time.
Yeah.
With all this stuff. Really? Yeah. I think he needs to focus on blunts. Yeah.
And his,
how to do them more efficiently, whatever. Uh-huh. Like, what's the Tesla blunts?
He is dating an electronic music, like, artist who's really good. Like, she makes good electronic music. Did you see him dance?
Yeah, that was awful.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
I was at a wedding I
that
didn't want to be at.
That was a crime.
Yeah.
And
I think he almost did like the Egyptian, like.
How is he dating Grimes?
They're still together?
I think so. Like, I think there's been rumors that they're broken up, but then I think she, like, her publicists probably float that they're broken up just because they know it's not a good look for her. But I'm pretty sure recently I had the same response. I was like, wait, they're not still together? And someone's like, yeah, they are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I feel like Grimes stock has definitely been going down in the last 3 months.
Grimes stock is at an all-time low, yeah, while Tesla stock, all-time high.
So he's a total nut, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I also think, who else is creating more of a push for us to actually start driving motherfucking electric cars right now?
No, like, for sure.
I think that is so important.
I think the technology is important. Yeah. And I think, but that's where I keep it there.
Yes.
I think the technology is important.
Yeah.
And granted, I think SpaceX is now about to be the largest operator of satellites in the world.
That's wild.
That's where I'm almost like, hold on. Yeah. You're like a broke ass fucking, what's that motherfucker from Iron Man?
Tony Stark.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the Bond villain shit is definitely scary. I feel absolutely free to clown on Musk.
Yeah.
But, I would love if, like, Teslas became the most popular vehicle in the next 10 years and everybody stopped using so much gas. Yeah. Like, why not?
The second, oh, man. Oof. That's why, like, I think Sony just unveiled a concept car. It's interesting because, you
Sony?
Know.
Sony?
Yeah, a full-on Sony car.
A foot-long Sony car?
A foot-long Subway Sony car.
Damn. Get the vinegar and mayo on
Vinegar, mayo, mustard, and salt and pepper that's in the same shaker. What if you just wanted pepper?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can't be done. Impossible.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we're on our way, maybe, to the more electric vehicles.
I realize it's unpopular. I realize it's a little bit of a devil's advocate thing, but I do think, like, he is a necessary weirdo right now that is pushing the market towards, okay, people actually want, like, not just hybrids, like, fully electric vehicles.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah. I think he is. I like the design of that truck. Come on. on, guys. No, but I think it's, as long as we can get our mind around the fact, and he can get his mind around the fact that he's a fucking dork. Like, Tony Stark, the most unrealistic thing about Tony Stark, other than that he can, like, you know, hack shit together with a screwdriver, is that he was cool and, like, funny and, like, fun to hang around. Elon Musk is probably none of those things, and in fact is definitely a little bit evil based on how he treated that one whistleblower. I just like this story because it proves once again that people who, like, traders and the people who pay attention to the stock market, despite the fact that all the smartest people in America go into that shit, or at least the smartest greedy people, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Because
they've been shorting the shit out of that company. And let's talk about Lori Loughlin. Her defense is basically, I didn't do anything.
It's look, we've talked constantly about how she's saying, I'm going to fight the case.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight the case.
Right.
I'm going to fight the case.
That is a good Lori Loughlin impression.
That's what I'm actually, I just booked the role of Lori Loughlin in the Lifetime movie. Yeah. It's going to be a little, it's interesting. Yeah. Bong Joon is writing the script. How do you say that dude's name? The dude who wrote Parasite, who directed Parasite?
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was
Bong Joon-ho. Bong Joon-ho. Yeah. So he's directing.
That was a
it.
Good acceptance speech, by the way, on the Golden Globes.
Whoa, what was his?
He called us all idiots.
Oh, he
was
did?
Like, I didn't the even second see. You guys can get past the 1-inch barrier at the bottom of the the subtitles at the bottom of the screen, you're gonna have like a whole world of really great movies open up to you.
Oh, that's Seriously. So cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's like, I don't know if you've seen what your country's cranking out.
Right.
There's Xeroxes of Xeroxes.
Right.
Like, and meanwhile, we're doing some real shit over here.
It is interesting that this movie has broken through as much as it has. Parasite. I think it's really like because there's like a class thing going on. Like the same with Joker. And Parasite is really about class, like in a very deep and interesting and like visceral way.
Yeah, and I think also just Korean media is having a big moment in the world.
Yeah,
like a lot
it's
of people
a
are very
storm of a
yeah, being
things.
Like, yeah, we fuck with the K-pop. Yeah. Like, oh, what's up with the movies?
Yeah, would this have broken through without the K-pop stands?
I don't
like,
know, man.
And their box office budget.
Is there Snowpiercer without BTS?
Right. Yeah.
Without Blackpink or Pink Black?
The question of our times.
Yeah. Without losing 33 pairs of iPods in 1 year? Like that one member of BTS? Okay. So Lori Loughlin, we just know she was saying, I didn't know I couldn't do that. But now we're starting to see what her actual defense is. So again, her daughters, you know, they were supposed to be like rowing. They were like doing rowing crew.
They photoshopped her into.
Or they just took a photo of them on rowing machines to be like, yeah, dude, they're in the lab just getting fucking yoked, all right, for these regattas. And so I guess what the defense is that those photos were never actually submitted to USC. Therefore, they weren't defrauding the university. And also, they were just saying this guy, Rick Singer, we just gave him $500,000 because he said, you know, he's like a dude, we consult with him to get our daughters in. We didn't know that money was going into a bribe.
Uh-huh.
Give us a break.
Right.
Also, I mean, come on, man. USC's trash. I'll never let that go.
This has been brewing up, Dave.
I just don't know. Yeah, it's just an odd, I mean, I guess that's the defense, though. It's just very simple. He never said the $500K was to pad someone's pockets over downtown LA and get our kid in that way. So did we really do anything wrong? If anything, this guy defrauded us. Therefore, innocent. Lori Loughlin, Mossimo out.
Yeah. I mean.
Guys, hear me out. Lori Loughlin is doing the most to drive the electric car market.
Despite what you say, despite the criticisms,
yes,
there's a net benefit for society with this. There was also that rumor that went around that she had hired somebody to give her jail classes, like to prepare her
right.
for jail.
Oh, not true.
That's not true.
Damn. Yeah.
Although that is a thing people do.
Yeah. Is it really?
Oh well, I knew a dude.
Will Ferrell.
Okay. And he hired this guy, Kevin Hart, to braid his hair. There was somebody in the neighborhood, in the valley, who we all knew was about to go to prison, and legit hired a dude to like sort of be like, look, you're a white kid who's about to go into like a actual penitentiary, like. Prepare yourself.
Right.
And like started lifting mad weights and stuff and doing stuff like that. I mean, it's probably different. I'm sure Lori Loughlin would go into a different prison than that. So that's why, like many people, I think we're just laughing at the idea that she.
Have you seen a picture of her lately, though? She's fucking yoked.
She's ripped.
Yeah. And yeah, has like no a neck. Sick neck tattoo.
Just no neck, dude. Yeah. She's like winged. She can't even get her arms by her sides. She's like, dude, sorry, bro.
Ali, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Oh, hell yeah, guys. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you, follow you?
On Instagram, I am at Ali_Gandour. That last name is GHANDOUR. And on Twitter, you should probably just search for my name because my Twitter handle is so fucked up. I made a mistake when I made it, and now it's like a good password that nobody can crack. So, but yeah, search for Ali on Twitter, and I should pop up.
Yeah. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. I'm going to pull a huge audible just because we were talking about Avatar so much. From my friend Ryan Rosenberg. He is at Chosenberg. He had a tweet that said, excuse me, this is navy blue. I asked for Navi blue.
rules. Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, man. Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, you can find us on the stage at the Gateway Theater January 25th in San Francisco as part of SF Sketch Fest with special guests Demi Adijuibe and Michael Swain. That's going to be a live show.
Like, that is going to be.
Like, it's live. Okay.
Indeed.
And come say what's up to us. You can get those tickets at sfsketchfest.com. And also check out our other live dates because we've got a world tour.
Yeah, where
coming
where
up.
Can they check those out? Are those
we've been tweeting them out. Yes, and you know just
follow
check
us
our
on Twitter.
Yeah. And also, you know, we're in Portland, okay? We're going to be in DC, we're going to be in Brooklyn, we're going to be in Minneapolis, we're going to be in Toronto and Chicago. That's just the first leg. Okay?
That's the first leg, guys.
And as we know, the Zeit Gang has 9 legs. So
yes,
this is there'll be 8 more legs to follow.
Wait, are we like a spider with a giant
spider?
We're
or just one with a mutation.
Okay,
however you want to look at it. Some call it a dong, some call it a flag. okay, a tweet that I like is from. I mean, this is just everyone's been loving this tweet. It's from Ken Klippenstein. It says, "U.S. We want Iraq to have a democracy. Iraq votes to remove U.S. troops. U.S. No, not like that."
a couple tweets I've been enjoying. Domino Books at Domino Comics tweeted, so there was a Hill article, Chelsea Clinton reaps $9 million from corporate board position. And Domino Books tweeted, I delivered food to Chelsea multiple times for my job. She always tipped $0. So cool Chelsea. And then Christy Yamaguchi, man, one of the great aka authors,
he is the
Shakespeare of AKAs. He tweeted, coworker of mine got a tattoo of a wolf that's supposed to be a Nordic god or some shit, and I won't stop calling it Pokemon names like Flareon and Ninetales, and he got so mad he's into rebel flags and shit, so I like fucking with him. shout out to him. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from Kamal Williams, who is from the UK, and actually is like a dope producer, but also did an album with this other drummer, someone, Yusuf. They had a group called Yusuf Kamal. I've played their tracks before, but this is from Kamal Williams. Very jazzy, okay? Because, you know, I like rhythm. I like live instruments. And this is called New Heights. By Kamal Williams. Let's reach new heights. Come on, Elon.
New heights.
Give me that Tesla blunt so I can reach new heights.
He should run for president. Now there's the guy who should run for president.
Oh, hell yes,
guys.
Dog.
Finally.
Dude, the blunt
somebody
agenda.
Somebody said it. The blunt agenda. Joe Rogan. Now there's who should run for president. All right. We're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. We'll also talk to you this afternoon with the trending Zeitgeist.
We'll be back.
Update.
Don't worry.
Bye.
From Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.